All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Baruch Hashem, beautiful daf ahead of us. Today's daf is Peiches 88. We are picking up Pei Zayin and Pei 87b by the Mishnah. Sheva midos shalach ha'yu b'mikdash. We'll say there are seven different measurements of liquid in the Beis HaMikdash. Seven different liquid measurements. Yesterday we spoke about dry measures. Today we're speaking about liquid measures. What were they? Hin, chatzia hin, shlishes hin, revias hin, lug, chatzi lug, revias lug. So we'll say, so these are the different seven measures that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Eliezer bar Reb Tzadok Omer, shenosos hayu behin. So what's Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok says something very interesting, disagreeing with the Tanakhama, and ultimately telling us that what? That there was one utensil in the Beis HaMikdash called a vehin. In that utensil, there were markings in the utensil itself, showing you ultimately, again, up until this point, it's for a par, right, for the oil for the par, up until this point, the aisle, up until this point, for the kevah. So we'll say, what Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok seems to be saying is that halacha lemaisa, you didn't have multiple different utensils. Instead, what you just had was one big utensil with multiple notches. And each notch showed you where to fill up the utensil for each respective carbon. So the Gemara goes right to Shimon Omer, Lo Haya Sham Hin. Rabbi Shimon says, there was no hin measurement. Why was there no hin measurement? V'chi ma haya hin meshamish. Because what do you need a hin measurement for in the Beis HaMikdash? Now, both say, now Rashi points out over here, regular Rashi on top, V'chi ma haya hin meshamish, V'halo, lo hutzrichu lo me'olam, ela pam achas hayimi me'moshe, l'shemen ha'mishcha, v'chsev shemen zayis hin. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what Rabbi Shimon says over here is as follows. Rabbi Shimon says, there was never a need for a hin, because the hin measurement was never used in the Beis HaMikdash. When was the hin measurement used historically? It was used for the production of the Shemen HaMishcha, for the anointing oil. But because anointing oil was just made once, it wasn't part of ongoing service, therefore, halacha lemaisa, you didn't require that type of utensil. So the Gemara says, Ela midi yisera shalug umechza haisasham. Rather, again, I will say in Rabbi Shimon's model, because there is no hin utensil, there's no hin utensil, therefore, again, he wants to fill out the number of seven as well, that there are seven liquid measures. So what does he substitute instead of hin? He says there was a lug and a half utensil. A utensil that was a lug and a half in size. Shebahaya modeid leminchas koin gadol. And I will say this lug and a half utensil was used to measure out for the minchas koin gadol, the minchas chavitin. Lugu mechza baboker, because they would use a lug and a half of oil in the morning. Lugu mechza ben arbaim, a lug and a half of oil, ultimately again, in the afternoon. Good, says the Gemara. Ten rabbanon. Sheva midos shalach hayu b'mikdash. So the Braisa says over here, there were seven liquid measures in the Beis HaMikdash. What were they? Revias lug, chatzi lug, velug. Revias ahin, shlishes ahin, chatzi ahin, vihin. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda, good. Quoting the seven different measurements. Now you're going to see, that's just pretty much restating the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, hin, chatzi ahin, shlishes ahin, revias ahin, lug, v'chatzi lug, or revias lug. So we'll say, so Rabbi Meir seems to quote the same exact measurements, just what do you notice, what did he do? He reversed the order. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ultimately, again, is going from the smallest measurements ultimately to the larger measurements, Rabbi Meir goes from the larger measurements ultimately to the smaller measurements. We'll discuss what the significance of that is in just a little bit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is the same opinion in the Mishnah, Lo Haya Sham Hin, there was no measure hin at all. Because they both say, what would you need a hin measurement for? Because as we said before, the hin was only used in the production of the Shemen HaMishcha, and the Shemen HaMishcha was not an ongoing process. Top of Peches. So if that's the case, says Rabbi Shimon, Es mi avi tachtov. So if that's the case, ultimately, again, that there is no hin measurement. So then halacha lemaisa, again, what measure should I use instead of the hin? Ela, Mida yisera shalog umechza haisasham. Shebaha yamode lechavite koin gadol. So we'll say in Rabbi Shimon's model, there was no hin, but instead there was a measure, a utensil, that contained a lug and a half, What was the point of the lug and a half? That was the necessary amount for the Chavite Kohen Gadol. The Chavite Kohen Gadol in the morning, the Chavite Kohen Gadol in the afternoon. Good. Amru lo, chatzi lug haisasham, ve'afshar l'shar b'chatzi lug. So Rabbi, this is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Shimon says, to round out the number seven, and we'll discuss why everyone is hung up on seven, but to round out the number seven, Rabbi Shimon says, because we're removing hin, the hin measurement, from the list, we're going to substitute it ultimately again with the utensil which held a lug and a half. So they asked, the other rabbis asked Rabbi Shimon, why you need a utensil that holds, which holds a lug and a half? After, now I understand the significance of a lug and a half. That's the amount of oil necessary for the Chavite Kohen Gadol in the morning and in the afternoon. But I have a different idea. Everyone agrees that what? That there was a utensil which measured a half a lug. If there's a utensil which measures a half a lug, then what? Just use that utensil three times, and you'll get your lug and a half. Why do you have to start going ahead and producing a new utensil just to go ahead and get to a lug and a half? Amar lahem, af ledivreichem, chatzi lug lo ye'asa. So Rabbi Shimon retorts back to them. He says, okay, well, even according to that logic, I could say, you know what? Don't make a chatzi lug utensil. And it's why? Because you have a utensil that is a revius lug. And if that's the case, Rabbi will say, all you need is what? Use the revius lug twice, and you'll get your chatzi lug. V'afshar l'shar b'revius. Ela zeha klal b'mikdash. Rather, Rabbi will say, says the Gemara, this is actually really amazing. We have a klal in the base of mikdash, which is kli shashimsha midazu, eino mishamesh mida acheres. Rabbi will say, what was the principle in the base of mikdash? The principle in the Beis HaMikdash was that you had specific utensils for specific measurements. We do not use one utensil to measure something that is not its exact measurement. And let me say that a little bit better. That in the Beis HaMikdash we have exact measuring utensils. And we do not go ahead and use a utensil of one measurement to go ahead and use and measure out some smaller measurement than the actual size of the utensil. Does that make sense? So I'll say, so in other words, so meaning we're not going to use a revius lug to measure out, we're not going to use two fillings up of the revius lug to measure out the chatzi lug. Or we're not going to use two chatzi lugs to go ahead and measure out a lug. Why not? Why not? Because if you end up doing that, what inevitably ends up happening? Estimation. I will say, you have to understand something. The Beis HaMikdash was a precise science. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash was precise. Why is everything in the Beis HaMikdash precise, Rabbi Osai? Because halacha l'maisa, the Beis HaMikdash was to be a metaphor for Judaic life. How are you supposed to live your Yiddishkeit? With precision. With precision. Not with ambiguity. You know, sometimes we say, I think this is okay. Yeah, I think this is all right. I'll say, no, it's either all right or it's not all right. And if it's not sure, 9 out of 10 times you're deluding yourself because you know it's not right, but you're telling yourself it's okay. This is the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Al tarbe la'aser umados. Don't, literally again, don't tithe by estimation. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says on that, he says, even if you're going to give more than you have to, don't live life by estimation. You have to live life with precision. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have clarity of right and wrong. You have to know mutter asur, tameh tahor, kosher treif. Person has to have clarity in life. Because inevitably, if you're walking around in a Judaic fog and you have spiritual ambiguity, you're going to make significant mistakes. Therefore, Rabbi said, where does this all come from? Where does this whole Ashkafas HaChaim come from? See, you thought there's no Musar in Menachos. But there is, Rabbi said, that's what this entire sugya is about. This entire sugya is telling me, do not go ahead and estimate when measuring out. The Beis HaMikdash has a specific set of measuring utensils so that every measurement should be precise. So the Gemara goes weiter. Fine. My Ika, Bein Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda. So let's listen to this. Now let's go back for just a moment. So if you remember again, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir had a machlokes on Amud Beis. They'll say, what was their machlokes? The seven different measurements. So remember again, I just want to point out, the measurements are the same. They just quoted them in different orders. Rabbi Huda goes ahead and ultimately quotes them in smallest to biggest, and Rabbi Meir quotes them from biggest to smallest. I will say, now obviously, they're arguing about something. So it says the Gemara, what are they arguing about? So here we go. So my Ika ben Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Beirutze midos Ika ben Meir. This is actually very interesting. What they're arguing about is what the Gemara calls Beirutze midos. So I will say, so right after we have this whole spiel about exact measurements, look what the Gemara talks about over here. Look at Rashi Kisveya, the bottom Rashi, second line in Beirutze Amidos. Hamali Godish, Kishamode Din Yagin, listen to this. Omimali Kli Biyoser, Yeshbo Beirutzin. So we'll say, when you go ahead, so Rashi's example over here is with wine, because wine is the easiest illustration of this. When you go ahead and you fill up your utensil with wine, you fill it up to the top, so almost inevitably there's some amount of spillage that occurs. That spillage goes over the sides of the kli. So what happens? Ve'im miyad ma'arabi kli gadol, if you pour the smaller utensil into a larger utensil, then what? Nimtsu beirutzin besocho. Then I will say, turns out that the larger utensil actually contains more wine than what was contained in the smaller utensil, which is an interesting idea. So remember again, if I overflow the smaller utensil and immediately pour it off into the larger utensil, the assumption we're working with is the larger utensil will catch the contents of the smaller utensil, and also what we call the beirutzin. The overflow droplets will also come in. Therefore, again, it turns out that the larger utensil will have more than the smaller utensil. Ve'im lav, nofala aretz me'elehen. And if not, ultimately, again, the overflow droplets ultimately fall to the ground. So watch this. So the Gemara says, leman da'amar mimata lemalo. So it's according to the opinion who looked at the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash, from smallest to greatest, Kasavra Beirutze Hamidos Niskachu, he holds, I will say, that the overflow is consecrated as well. Urevius Yohevle Rachmana Lemosha. And the Revius Lug ultimately again is the shear that ultimately again HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'amarle Sha'ar Deka Aili Lehu Berutz. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Kasavar. So the man do Amar Mimata Lemala. The Chashiv Revius Berishon. So, according to the opinion, who looked at the first Mida, which this is the sheet of Rabbi Huda, who looks at the Revius Log as in the beginning of the measurements. I'm looking at Rashi still. Rashi Kisveyan on the bottom. Kasav Rabbi Rutsi Amidos Neskalchu or Revius Yohev Rachmana Lemoshe Va'Amrele. So the Gemara says Eila Asei Chatzi Log Umishtech Chatzi Log V'Chin Ad Hin. Sha'ar Da'ili Bu Beirutzin. Just read that next. Actually, then we'll go back to the Gemara. Sheheh achatzi log gadol sheikansu bo shtei revios ubeirutzin. Debistama hachi hu shema'arek li katan shal revios lesoch kli gadol kigon chatzi. So according to this first opinion, he holds that ultimately, again, Chodesh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu the revios log. That was the initial shear. And the assumption is that the shiurim go up in ascending order, recognizing that when you pour, so to speak, not literally, but so to speak, from one kli to the next, so the additional droplets of the smaller utensil go into the larger utensil and become kadosh as well. The take-home message, Rabosai, from the order of the kli is just like if you pour from the smaller kli into the larger kli receives both the contents of the smaller kli as well as the overflow droplets, assuming that you pour it off immediately. What that's telling you is that overflow becomes kadosh as well. That's the takeaway message from this. But the one who goes in and reckons the shiurim again, we'll say from largest to smallest, kasava beirutze midos lo niskachu. He holds, we'll say that the overflow of the utensil does not become kadosh. Vehin yohev le'rachman le'moshe. And in fact, the original measure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Moshe Rabbeinu was the hin. Now granted, he gives him the hin, as we saw before by the Shemana Mishcha. Va'amar le, sha'er baha, dikanafki beirutzin. Use this as your measurement, so that the beirutzin, the overflow, falls off. See, Rabbeinu say, obviously, if you were to take the hin utensil, and what? Pour it into the next smallest utensil, that utensil, of course, would not even hold all of the contents of the hin utensil, and certainly wouldn't what? Certainly wouldn't go ahead and hold the overflow also. So we'll say, what's amazing about this is really fascinating, because it seems like it'd be so much easier for them just to say, we're arguing about overflow. But understand what's happening over here. The Gemara is filled with this. The Gemara is filled with statements that serve multiple purposes. So what's happening with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda is, They're both giving the list of the different shiurim, because we need to know the seven shiurim in the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way that they arrange it, they're also allowing it to serve almost as a, not mnemonic, but they're allowing it to serve as a way to remember another halacha. What other halacha? Does overflow of a utensil become kadosh or not? Rabbi Yehuda telling me yes, and that's why again he arranges the utensils from smallest to largest, because if you overflow a small utensil, pour it off immediately into a large utensil, the large utensil will contain what, Rabbosai? The contents of the smaller utensil and the overflow, reminding me that the overflow ultimately again is kadosh, versus the large utensil to the smaller utensil, which is Rabbi Meir. If you pour the large utensil to the smaller utensil, so obviously Rabbosai said the smaller utensil doesn't even contain all of the contents of the larger utensil, much less, certainly not the overflow. Therefore telling us that the overflow is not kadosh as well. Abaye and Rabbi says no. That's not the machlokas. The chuli alma beirut amidos ikal meimar neskachu. Everyone in Abaye's model, everyone agrees that what overflow is kadosh. The ikal, excuse me, I should say it differently. The chuli alma beirut amidos ikal meimar neskachu. The ikal meimar lo neskachu. So both say. So Abaye says that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. V'hacha ultimately again b'maleim kamiflagi. So we'll say, what does this mean? Mandar milamala lamata. So we'll say, here what they're arguing about is how much you fill up utensils. Look at Rashi. B'maleim kamiflagi. Dechsev shneim solis maleim. V'huadin l'chala midos tikra. Mand chashif hin b'resha kasavar maleim. Shalo yechsar v'shalo yosir. Hilchach yasehin mitzuntzom. Umimenu yechavin shahamidos. So actually, let's see in the Gemara. I'm reading ahead. So man damra milamala lamata. So we'll say, so the one who says that you take the measurements ultimately milamala lamata, from greatest to smallest, that's the position of Rabbi Meir. Kasavar mileim shalo yechsar v'shalo yosir. Rabbi say he holds that aloch lamaisa, the way the measurements are arranged is that you have to measure the kelim exactly. Do not add more and do not take out. So the kelim have to be leveled, exactly leveled. Not less, not more. But the mandamer who holds, who reckons the seven measurements from smallest to largest, that's Rabbi Huda. What does he hold? He holds Malayim. When the pasuk says that it has to be Malayim, Shalo Yechsar, it means it can't be deficient. Aval Yosir, but it will say if you end up adding more to the kli, that's fine, because Malayim Karina Bay, ultimately again, that'll still be called Malayim. Fine. Amar Mar. So we'll say, so therefore, this is the second version of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda Meir. In this version, they're not arguing about overflow, they're not arguing about what was the Lashon, Beirutzei Amidos, they're not arguing about overflow, rather what they're arguing about is, can you go ahead and add more to the utensil or not? One opinion telling me yes, one opinion telling me no. Fundamental Machlokes rooted in the word Malayim. What does Malay mean? Does Malay mean full and leveled, or does Malay mean full and even if there is a bit more? Amar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Haya Sham Hin. So we'll say, so listen to this. So going back now, Rabbi Shimon says ultimately that there was no measurement called a hin. Now the reason he holds, Rabbi Shimon holds, there's no measurement called a hin because it was unnecessary. Because remember again, the only time ever hin was ever used was where Rabbosai, where? By the Shemana Mishcha, by the creation of the anointing oil. The hin measurement is not part of everyday temple service. If it's not part of everyday temple service, then I don't need a designated utensil for it. So it says the Gemara, Shapir Kamer Luhu, Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanon. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon is saying, go to the Rabbanon. So we'll say, again, this is another idea. And the Beis HaMikdash has nothing extra. There's no surplus. So whatever you need, you use. Or I should say, whatever you use, you have. Whatever you don't use, you don't have. So Rabbi Shimon says, why in a million years would we keep a utensil called, for the hin, a hin utensil, a hin measurement utensil, when there is nothing in temple service which requires a hin? To which, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, you're saying go to the Rabbanon. What would the Rabbanon say? For Rabbanon, have a hin da avid Moshe, the Shemana Mishcha. The Rabbanon say, one second, there was a hin utensil. In other words, let's not rewrite history. There, bless you, there was a hin utensil. Moshe Rabbeinu made, bless you, made the hin utensil ultimately to create the Shemen HaMishcha. Now watch this. Dechsev, the Shemen Zayis hin. Mar Savar, Kevon Ledoros, Lo Hava, sorry, Kevon Ledoros, Lo Hava Tzarech, Lefi Shahu Da'avdei, Vi'ignas, Vi'idach, Kevan Dahava, Hava. So also listen to this. This is actually a fascinating machlokas. So Rabbi Shimon says, listen, the hin utensil was needed once in history for the creation of the Shaman HaMishkan. The reason, what do you mean once in history? So remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu made a very large batch of Shaman HaMishkan. Apparently you did not need to make more after the batch of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's hidden together with the Aron HaBris. So therefore, once Moshe Rabbeinu made the Shaman HaMishkan, that's it. We don't need it anymore. We don't need the hin utensil anymore. Did Moshe Rabbeinu have a hin utensil? Did he have a hin utensil? Yes. What happened to it? It was put in Seamus, right? It was put in Genizo, it was hidden away, but we don't need one now. On the other hand, that's Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, the Rabbanon hold, Kevan Dehava, Hava. We'll say Kevan Dehava, Hava means that what? Once Moshe Rabbeinu made it, and it became part of the temple utensil collection, even though we do not use it ultimately for future generations, we still nevertheless maintain a hin utensil within the Beis HaMikdash. Amr Mar Vaat Mi Avi Tachtov. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, Losagi Deloma Ayil. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, remember, after Rabbi Shimon takes out the hin from his list, so they say to him, Nu, what are you going to substitute? Right? Rabbi Shimon says, what should I substitute instead? So remember, what does he substitute instead? The lug and a half utensil. So asks the Gemara, I don't understand, why does he have to substitute anything? Let it just be that everyone else in the Mishnah holds that what? Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir hold that what? There are seven utensils. And Rabbi Shimon holds that what? There are six. Why does he need seven? To which the Gemara says, Ki da'am ravina gemiri shtei smichas betzibur. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, just like when it comes to smicha, we have a mesor that there are two times, that smicha is done on communal offerings, the par ha'elam davar shel tzibur, and the seir la'azazel. Hachanami gemiri d'sheva mido shalach hayu b'mikdash. So we'll say, which the Gemara answers, because that's the Masorah. The Masorah is that there were seven liquid measures. So Rabbi Shimon can't argue on the Masorah. Rabbi Shimon can maybe argue in terms of what? In terms of what the measurements were. But Lamaisa, the concept that there were seven, that's part of the Masorah. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, shnosos hayu behin. V'les leish sheva midos. To which the Gemara, so we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So let's just go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, shenosos hayu behin, v'les lu sheva midos. Does he not hold the sheva midos? Les leish v'vais ima, my sheva midos, sheva medidos. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara presents an alternate possibility. The alternate possibility is that maybe sheva midos doesn't necessarily mean seven different utensils. But maybe in Rabbi Eliezer's model, Rabbi Elazar Ben Tzadok's model, ultimately, again, what does sheva midos mean? Sheva medidos. That Rabbi Elazar said there were seven different measures. That it could be that in Rabbi Elazar's model, he says, sheva shenosos hayu behin, that there were seven notches. Seven notches. So it could be that it's one utensil, ultimately, again, with seven different notches. And therefore, again, what do you do with the Mishnah that says Sheven Midos? So in Rabbi Lazarus' model, you have to say it said Sheven Medidos. Not Sheven Midos, seven different measuring utensils, but rather seven different measurements, seven notches within the same utensil. We'll say, how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskins, the halacha lemaisa and the Beis HaMikdash, there were seven different utensils. So which order? So we'll say, here's the good news. Six out of seven, everyone's in agreement. What does he do about the hin? This is actually, right, this is like, we need to know. So was there a hin? Wasn't there a hin? And we'll say, what's fascinating about this is, and everyone agrees on the Metzias. What's the Metzias? Was the hin used in the Beis HaMikdash? Was it used? No, right? It ultimately, again, was only used once in history for what? For the Shemana Mishcha. So it's clear that it's not used in everyday temple service. But halacha lemaisa, was it one of the seven utensils or not? To which the Rambam paskins, ve'ein lanu davar limdod bohin. So the Rambam says, you know, we have nothing that we need the hin for. Ve'lama hayasham. So if that's the case, says the Rambam, why was it in the Beis HaMikdash? So ultimately, again, says the Rambam, halacha lemaisa, the Rambam says, because it was used by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam paskins that halacha lemaisa, rabosai, the hin utensil was in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Kevan dahava, hava. Once Moshe Rabbeinu used it for the Shemana Mishcha, even though Rabbi Osai, the Pashtus, it sat there gathering dust. because no one used it for anything. Nevertheless, halacha lamaisa, there was a hin measurement, a hin utensil in the Beis HaMikdash. Incredible. Incredible. Says the Mishnah. Let's go back to Revius. Mahaisa Mishamesh. So we'll say now we're going to go through, now that we established the list of seven, it's very exciting. Now that we established the list of seven, so we'll say, so now we're going to go through what each unit of liquid measurement was used for. So watch this. Here we go. Revius. And we'll say, now Revius, just to understand, Revius is a quarter of a lug. Revius lug. Quarter of a lug, what was it used for? Mahisa Mishameshes, Revius Maim the Mitzora, or Revius Shem the Nazir. It was used for the Revius lug of the Mitzora. Rashi says over here, he says, so remember again, by the Mitzora, his process is that you have to go ahead and mix all the other items, the bird and everything else, with Maim Chaim, right? With water. So how much water did you have to use for the Mitzora process? Quarter of a lug. Or Revius Shemen the Nazir. There was also a quarter of a lug of oil for the Nazir. Now Rashi points out over here, what was the oil used for? It was used for the lechem, for the loaf offering of the Nazir. So quarter of a lug for the water of the Mitzora, which is the Mayim Chaim, quarter lug of the Shemen for the Nazir. Chatzi lug Mahayim Shamish. We'll say, what did you use the Chatzi lug for? So the Gemara says, Chatzi lug Mayim L'Sota. There was a half a lug of water used for the Sota. Remember again, that's where the parchment is dissolved for the Sota, and she drinks it. V'chatzi lug Shemen L'Toda. And we'll say, there was a half a lug of oil used for the Lachmei Toda, to mix into the Toda loaves. Ubalug hayamodei l'chala menachas. And the lug was used, we'll say, for all other menachos. Afilu mincha shal samich isaron. No sin lo samich lug. And we'll say, that's very interesting. The halacha is, it was one lug of oil per isaron of flour. Let's say you brought a massive mincha of 60 isaron. So we'll say, how much oil does that require of you? 60 lugin. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? The only thing you had for your use in the Beis HaMikdash for the oil for the mincha was what? A one lug utensil, which means you filled up that lug, so you filled that 60 times. There was no like a big gulp, like jumbo lug thing for a large mincha. It was always the one lug utensil. So even if you brought the massive mincha, you just kept filling it up as many times as you needed to. Rabbi Zeb Rabbi Yaakov Omer, afilu mincha shal samich yisaron ein la ela luga. So we'll say Rabbi Zeb Rabbi Yaakov disagrees over here, not on a utensil, but in the mincha. He holds that it is one lug of oil per mincha, no matter how big that mincha is. So what we're going to discuss is fundamental machlokes in Hilchos Karban Mincha. Is it one lug of oil per isaron, or is it one lug of oil per mincha? Shene emar, lemincha v'lug shemen, lemincha v'lug shemen. Shisha lepar, v'arba la'ayul, u'shlosha lekeves. So we'll say so again. Here we see there are six lug for the par, four for the ayul, three for the keves. Shlosha mechza lemenorah. Three and a half lug for the menorah. There, we'll say that. We saw that yesterday. That's a half a lug per candle, for per kos. Chatzi lug l'chol ner. Ultimately, again, a half a lug for each and every, we call it ner. We translated this candle, but what it really means is kos, each receptacle. For the menorah, ultimately, again, got a chatzi lug. Beautiful. So we'll say, here we go. Yosef Rebbe v'kakashile. So Rebbe was sitting, he was learning the Mishnah at Akasha. Revius lema. Revius lemat nimshecha. What was the revius measurement consecrated for? Chavosa means, what was the revius measurement used for? Imitzora, if you want to say it's mitzora. Chavosa chutzu. Remember again, I don't need a klisharis, I don't need a consecrated utensil for the use of the mitzora. Why, Rabosai? Because the entire purification of the mitzora is done where? Chutz. Rashi points out, the Mitzorah was purification process took place out, quote unquote, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, we actually learned this. It took place actually in the actual gateway by Shar Nikanor. Because it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, quote unquote, I don't need a consecrated utensil. V'inozir, and if you want to say ultimately again, the revius, the quarter lug utensil is used to measure out the oil for the loaves of the nazir. So lechem nazir b'shchitas ayil hu dekadosh. Bosai, the loaves of the Nazir only become kadosh later on through the slaughtering of the ayah, which means that the loaves are already made even in a non-kadosh form. Because they're made in a non-kadosh form, then what? I don't need a consecrated measuring utensil for measuring out the oil for the loaves of the lachmi nazir. So I'm going to I'll tell you why. Shebaha yamodi lechavite koin gadol. You need the revius lug utensil, because I will say it was with that revius lug that you measured out the oil for the special mincha of the koin gadol. Revius shemen lechol chala v'chala. Ultimately, again, because the chavite koin gadol used a quarter of a lug of oil for every loaf. So we'll say, so that's what you use the quarter of the lug for. A revi is for every single loaf. So we'll say, that's actually quite beautiful. So remember again, this was Rebbe who was sitting and pondering this. Rabbi Chia gave him the answer. And Rebbe said about Rabbi Chia, quoting the Pasuk, from Yeshayahu, Me'eretz merchak ish atzasi. From a faraway land, a great man came and gave me counsel. Rashi points out, Rabbi Chia made aliyah. He used to live in Bavel. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe was living in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, a man from a faraway land came and gave me counsel. He was praising Rebbe Chia for his wisdom. Weiter. Chatzi lug mahayu meshamish. I will say, what was the half a lug used for? Yosef Ravashi vikakashile. Chatzi lug lemanim shach. I will say, so remember again, I just want to point out, these measuring utensils in the Beis HaMikdash, I will say, these were consecrated utensils. This was not stam measuring utensils. They were consecrated. Now, what the Gemara is asking over here is, I understand the need for measuring utensils. What I'm trying to understand is why I need consecrated measuring utensils. For what purpose is the consecration? So here we go. Is sota. If you want to say it's sota that I need ultimately again, the chatzi lug to measure out the water for the sota. But say that's not true. V'chi chulin hu d'tzvichi l'kidushay. Ma'im kidoshin k'siv. Rabbi, say remember again, where was the water of the sota taken from? So in fact, interestingly enough, it was taken from the kiur. It was taken from the sink in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say that water was already consecrated. Because it was consecrated, it does not need a klisharis. It does not need a consecrated measuring utensil to measure it out. It was already kadosh. Itoda, if you want to say to measure out again the half a lug of oil for the lachmi toda. Lachmei toda b'shchitas toda hu dekadshi. Both say the loaves of a toda only become consecrated later on during the time when the actual toda is shechted. Which means, both say, I don't need the oil of the lachmei toda to be in a consecrated utensil, because even if it's in a consecrated utensil, the loaves themselves do not become consecrated until later. So Rav Shimon Rebbe, says, I'll tell you what we need it for. We need it for Sheboha Yemechalik. Chatzi lug shem lechol ner v'ner. Rabosai, the half lug measurement was necessary. Why? To measure out the half a lug of oil for each and every receptacle in the menorah. Amar lo ner Yisrael kachaya. So I say, so again, so beautifully. So Rebbe, once again, complimenting this time Rebbe Shimon Berebbe, says to him, ner Yisrael. He calls him the ner Yisrael. You are the light of all Israel. Kachaya. This indeed is what was done. Okay, it's a good rabbi praising him. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi. We'll say, listen, this is a fascinating case. And this is amazing, by the way, because, you know, last night we just started the Shulchan Aruch Chabura, we just started Hilchos Chanukah. So this is amazing. Obviously, this is not Hilchos Chanukah, this is Hilchos Beis HaMikdash, but Hilchos Chanukah, as we have it, right, you know, again, the whole Mesa Chanukah is about the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. So here we go. Ner Shekavsa, Nitshan Hashem, and Nitshan HaPsila. Let's listen to this interesting case. You have in the Av of the menorah, so I'm going to say, so what happened over here is one of the wicks go out. One of the wicks go out. Now Rashi points out over here, Rashi points out, Nitshan Hashem, and it's actually, you're actually looking at Rashi Kisveyad, the bottom Rashi, about five lines in. Nitshan Hashem, and Kolomar, Nismalish Manomi Deshna Psila, and Yochal Haligo Adshon Dash. So let's listen to this case. So the case over here is the wick extinguished, but what ends up happening is the wick itself dissolves a little bit into the oil, effectively rendering the oil unfit. So this is talking about a candle in the Beis HaMikdash which went out prematurely. So watch this. So what's talacha? Ketzarosa. So what do you do the next morning? Mativa v'nosin b'shemen u'madlika. So you go ahead about saying what? You clean it out. You clean it out. Or I should say, I shouldn't say the next morning. What should you do? What should you do again when you want to relight it? Says the Gemara. What do you do? So mativa, you clean it out. Benosin b'shemen u'madlika, and you put in the requisite amount of oil, and you go ahead and relight it. So Rashi says over here, look at regular Rashi for just a moment. So Gner Shekavsa Bechasi Halayla Okodim Or Hayom. So what's I say? So the idea over here is the menorah was supposed to remain lit really until the next morning. The case over here is it's going out in the middle of the night or sometime before daybreak. So what do you do? So Rashi says over here, Keitzaru Ose Mativa Shemashlich Komash Shevener Lachutz. Presumably, what do you do over here? You go ahead, you clean out, clean it out, and you relight it. You relight it, so if it goes out, you relight it. So watch this. Yosef Rabbi Zvika Vakami Boyle. What's this? Rabbi Zvika had the following kasha. This is fascinating. Kishunosim Bashemen, Kamida Rishona, O Kimoshe Chasra. So what's this? See, here the Shaila. Remember, how much oil was placed in the Nair? How much oil was placed in each Nair? How much oil? So remember, what was the amount? Meaning, where do we get the amount from? It's the amount that was necessary to allow it to remain lit throughout the night. I now have a nair that went out. So what do I have to do? Relight it. What's the shayla? What's the shayla? How much oil do you put back in? Right? Do you go ahead, kishinosin bashemen, kimida rishona? Do I put in a full half lug? O kimoshe chasra? Or I will say, do I go ahead and put only back in essentially the necessary amount? Meaning, do I look at the amount ultimately again that was used up and only put in the amount of oil less that amount? In other words, what the Gemara is asking over here is, do you put in the full measure or do you just put in enough to get the menorah till the morning? Good kasha. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya. Pshita dikemida rishona. Rabbi Yirmiya says, it's pashit. It's pashit that you put in the full half a look. Di'i kama shechasra, listen to this, Rabosai, minaya dinan maichiser, because Rabosai, otherwise, you're talking about imprecise measurements. How do you know how, first of all, Rabosai, it's also assuming that you saw exactly when the menorah went out. For you know, the Kohen went ahead, he's on break. Kohanim are union also, right? Right, he's on break, right? So what happens? He's on break, he comes back, so how does he know when it went out? So Rabosai, so therefore again, the Gemara says, obviously it has to be that you clean out the menorah, put in the full half lug of oil, because how can you measure how much was used, how much is left? So the Gemara says, I can't measure. So Rabbi says, no, I absolutely can't measure. What can I do, Rabbi Osai? I can take a half lug measure, a half lug utensil, pour out the oil into the half lug, and what? See how much oil is left in there. Oh, im kein. The Gemara says, no, you can't. Sheva midos nafish lehu midos tuvos. Rabbi Osai, I'll tell you why you can't. Because if you're going to start measuring out something else, then what? Then it turns out that you have more than seven measurements. See, Rabbi Osai, if there is such a process of measuring out residual oil, then it turns out, it's so interesting. No? Yeah. So it turns out that what Rabbi Osai, that you're going to have many more than seven measurements. You're going to have multiple different measurements because you're going to be measuring out residual oil. So therefore, again, Rabbi Osai, therefore it has to be that what? It has to be that halacha lemaisa, when the menorah goes out, you replace the oil, you replace the wick, you pour out all of the old oil. And Rabbi Osai, now this is dafka, a case where the oil that's left up gets messed up by the wick inside of it. It appears from this Gemara that halacha lemaisa, if the oil was still fine, just something happened with the wick, you could replace the remaining oil, and ultimately again just put in there a new wick. But assuming that the oil itself gets messed up, empty it out, replace it with a full half lug. Kari alei, so I will say, this is all Rebbe. Once again, Rebbe says about Rebbe Zvika, and he says ultimately the following, this is Rebbe Zvika sitting and says, Rebbe Yirmiya says, Kari alei, the Haj, quotes over here, the Pasuk from Tehillim. Vadarchot slach, ultimately again, literally your hadar, your beauty, should go on and be successful. Rachav al dvar emes, va'anva tzedek, so again he praises Rebbe Yirmiya for his incredible wisdom. Itmar Nami, Rabbi Osei, I have another brisa that supports this idea. Am Rabbi Avo, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Chanina, Am Rabbi. Ner Shekavsa, we'll say if a candle, a light, a fire in the menorah goes out, Nidshan HaShemen, and the oil becomes unusable, Nidashna Psila, so we'll say, and the wick itself becomes unusable, what do you do? Kitzad Ose, Mativa Venosin Bashemen Kemita Rishonu Umadlika. We'll say the halacha is, you empty out the contents of the particular receptacle, you fill it up with oil, and you rekindle it. We'll say, and that indeed is halacha lemaisa. Incredible halacha lemaisa. Amrav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, Brei Rav Yehuda, Amrav Sheshes. Ner Sheva Mikdash Shal Prakim Haya. We'll say, another amazing Gemara. So we'll say, comes along, Rav Huna says, name of Rav Yehuda, name of Rav Sheshes, the menorah in the base of Mikdash Shal Prakim. We'll say, Shal Prakim literally means of pieces. Now, what does that mean, of pieces? If you look at Rashi Kisvei, we'll say, the bottom Rashi, six lines up from the bottom, Shal Prakim, Shal Chulios, Lo shalchul yosma mishuach aleparkin olasalka mina menorah elashiach alekofef olamato olazokum mikarbos. I get ready for this. This is wild. Comes along Rav Funabri Rav Yeshua and says as follows. In Rosh Hashanah, the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash was malleable, which means that Rav said you could take the branches and you could bend them down. Why do you need to bend them down? To clean them. They're malleable. Rav said not detachable. And is malleable the right word?
Yeah.
Right? Malleable. Right? They are malleable. You could literally move them in order to go ahead and clean them. Amazing. Kasavar. Kiksiv. Umiksha a menorah v'neiro seksiv. Because Rav Yosef, he holds that when the pasuk says that the menorah has to be made miksha means what? Out of one block of gold. What does that refer to? That refers to the menorah as well as the branches. The menorah has to be one solid piece of gold. Because of that, what we call Rav Yosef, the neiros, which are the actual branches of the menorah, cannot be detachable. But they can be what? They can be movable. So allowing them to be movable allows you to clean them. Ksiv. So Gemara says, "Kevud demi bayatava." And since you have to clean the bulbs, you have to clean the receptacles. Ilav de prakim havi. If they are not movable, if they are not malleable, lo havi metayvle. You can never clean them sufficiently. So the Gemara says, "Meisve or esekasha ketsad ose." How do you go ahead and clean the menorah? Misalkan, you actually remove the branches. Umanichan ba'ohel. And you leave them in the Beis HaMikdash, mekanchon besvug, you clean them with a sponge, v'nosin b'shemen, and then you put oil in them, umadligan, wow. So Rabosa, what do you see from this braisa? That the branches were detachable. So Rabosa, a fundamental historical machlokas about the menorah. Was the menorah one big piece with malleable branches, or was the menorah, again, made up of multiple parts, the base being one piece, but the branches being detachable? The Chacham say that we would not move the branches from their place. The inference that the Chacham have to tell me, do not move the branches from their place. What does that tell me? That if I wanted to, I could. Which sounds like the branches are technically detachable. Michlal, the Gemara says, Ela ema lo haisa zaza mimkoma. No. The way it should be read is the branches were not movable. They could not be moved from place. Uman chachamim. Who are the chachamim? Rebbe Elazar who desanya. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok Omer. Kemin tas shalzav hayala al gaba. We'll say ultimately, and we'll just read this piece and we'll have to stop for today, that ultimately there was like a gold plate on top of the cups of the menorah. Kishumativa. When he wanted to clean out the cups, he would push the, so we'll say, if you can imagine, it's like a flap on top. It was a flap on top to keep impurities from coming inside. So when he was cleaning it out, he would push the flap towards the opening of the utensil, of the cup. When he wanted to put in oil, he would push the flap back. So we'll say, ultimately, again, we're going to see is that halacha lemaisa ubeplukta dani tanoim, that this is going to be a machlokes tanoim about the nature of the menorah. So we'll have to stop over here for today, but again, you don't want to miss this tomorrow. Right? A fundamental machlokes about how the menorah itself was fashioned. Was it one piece? Was it multiple pieces? Was it one piece with immovable branches? Or was it one piece with malleable branches? Meretz Hashem to be seen tomorrow. Shkoyah.